Welcome to The Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of The Jones Zone. Today, we're going to talk about owning a home and all the benefits that it provides. I have a great guest, Pat Leung, a CPA, tax strategist. She's going to give us a lot of great insight on how you can save money owning a home and the benefits of owning a home. So, Pat, tell us a little bit about yourself and how'd you get here? How'd you make it to this position where you're at now?
Well, I got here through the Five Freeway.
Oh, Five Freeway. That's true.
Okay. So really, I will share a little story of how I found my calling in tax. So this dials back to when I was probably in junior high school. I come home from school, found my parents' tax returns on the dining room table, and took a look, and I found mistakes. So clearly, a kid's not going to know really what true tax mistakes are. They're probably numerical or mathematical or perhaps spelling. But I thought, well, how silly. You pay somebody to do your tax returns, and yet it's wrong. And I thought, well, it's just a few pages. How hard can it be? Let me take a shot at this. I go to the school library, and I'm dating myself. They still have physical printed publications at the library. So I asked the librarian, I go, oh, is this free? And she says, yes. So I grabbed one of every single publication at the library regarding tax. I took it home and I read them page to page.
And you're 14 or 15 years old at this point.
Probably a teenager, you know, got no siblings, got no friends. What am I going to do?
But you were interested in it.
Yes, it was very easy reading. They have good examples, how you can benefit, walk you through the whole thing, various case examples. And it was brilliant. I thought, wow, you don't just put numbers on the forms. There's different things you can do that will create the most benefits in terms of tax savings. And you know, there's a saying, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.
Good point.
So that opened up a whole world of possibilities for me. And here I am. I love, people hate taxes. I eat and I breathe tax. And in my spare time, I read about tax saving strategies. I read about tax law changes. There's never a shortage of that.
Well, that's what really impressed me. Pat happens to be my CPA. I just love the way that she set up her business. And I don't know if I'm saying this properly, but it's your business. You spend a lot of time researching all the new laws, all the tax benefits, things to do, things not to do, which is also, you have to look at two different things to do and not to do. And then you inform your team. How many CPAs do you have working under you?
There's about 10 of us.
Wow. So owning a home provides a lot of benefits, including the potential to build equity, create a sense of security and stability. However, owning a home can also provide valuable tax benefits. Today, we're going to talk about these various tax deductions available to homeowners and how they can lower their overall tax bill with our guest today, Pat Leung. So I have some questions here. Pat, you know, explain the tax benefits of owning a home and how they differ from renting.
Sure. Let's talk about renting. For renters, every monthly rent you pay, that's just pretty much like burning dollar bills in a fireplace, right?
You're burning someone else's house for them.
Exactly. But let's look at it in the long term. And I'll share another story of my good friend, Aaron. Many, many years ago, so Aaron travels a lot for work, virtually about 50% of the time she's on the road. So she thought, well, never home. It's just a place I rent. And if there's anything that needs to be done, I'll have my landlord fix it. And my monthly expense is fixed at X amount. And I'm happy with that. So it's like, okay. So let's look long-term, right? Let's look 30, 10, 20, 30 years. And back then, her apartment was probably about $2,000, which is now probably double the amount. Let's factor in landlord increasing the rent roughly 5% every year over a course of 30 years. Aaron would have burned easily over $1 million.
Wow.
And that's going to somebody else's pocket, not hers. And she still would not have any asset or home ownership of her own. That's $1 million out the door.
Just thrown away.
Thrown away. So that's renting. Home ownership does provide some tax benefits. You can write off the interest on the loan. You can write off the property tax. But, you know, here in our Orange County area, there are many, many HOA, homeowners association dues. That, unfortunately, is not deductible. Homeowners insurance is not deductible. Any repairs, maintenance, that's unfortunately also not deductible. So only the mortgage interest and the property tax.
Is there a maximum amount? I think they had changed it a few years back to $1 million loan amount. Or what is that? Tell us about that.
Sure. So prior to 2018, we were able to write off mortgage interest on the loan of up to $1.1 million. So that's a first and a second home. You could have your primary residence and a vacation rental. Those two properties combined, the mortgage cannot exceed 1.1. You're going to have excess, but you won't get the deduction on the excess. 2018 came. If you had a house before that time, you were grandfathered in under the $1 million. If you bought a home after that time, the mortgage interest is limited to $750,000.
Wow. Well,
that's not a lot in our area.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, $750,000 loan amount.
Loan amount, not the interest, the loan amount.
Oh boy. Yeah. That's, that is not a lot.
What's the average home cost here now?
Oh yeah. You gotta be around $1 million to get a house.
$750,000 gets you maybe two garages.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You're looking at, one bedroom condos. Let me think. I've got a one bedroom condos. They go for, of course, it depends on what city.
Correct.
But anywhere from even 450 on up, and that's just, again, a condo. Maybe you can probably get a little less in different cities and obviously a little bit more. Can you discuss the rules around deducting home office expenses for the self-employed homeowners?
Sure. So if you are self-employed and you have a room in the house that is 100% dedicated to the office use, so that means, you know, nothing like grabbing your laptop, putting yourself in front of your TV, sofa. That's not a home office because there's multiple use. So it has to be a room that has no other use other than the business office.
Got it.
In that sense, then you could qualify and we would take the square footage of that room over the square footage of the entire house. And hypothetically, let's say it's 10%, which is still a pretty large room. Then we could deduct 10% of mortgage interest, 10% of property tax, 10% of HOA dues, 10% of insurance, repairs, maintenance, cleaning.
Utilities.
Utilities, the whole nine yards.
So that really changes things a lot.
Yes, yes.
You would advocate for people who need a home office to get one. And if you don't need one, get a job that you need one. Nah, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I even have clients who built a casita. There's a lot of ADUs, accessory dwelling units.
Yeah, we're going to do a show on that.
Right. A lot of folks can build that out and use that as a home office and write that off. You can even perhaps convert your garage into an office use. I have one client who does selling stuff in eBay. And so he uses his garage as storage unit to house all of the inventory.
Oh, yeah.
So those are different uses.
And let's say you were to build, you mentioned a client that is building an ADU for an office purposes. And I'm guessing, because ADUs, I've looked at that, they're not exactly cheap. I mean, relatively speaking, with 300, I forget what the price per square foot is, but
it's gone up. Whatever it is, it's gone up.
Yeah, that's for sure. They've gone up quite a bit. So if you're doing that, could one write off the entire building of that ADU?
The building can never be written off completely, but you can definitely include that, and it's going to be what we call depreciated, meaning you're going to spread that building construction over the life of the building itself.
Okay. So you still get some obvious tax benefits, but you don't get the write-off that. All right. Now, tell me this. How do you determine which home improvements are eligible for tax credits or deductions? Because I know that it's different for primary residence compared to, let's say, a rental property you may own. Touch on that a little bit.
So if it's your primary residence, the home improvements are not currently deductible, meaning like if I have a home and I spent $50,000 upgrading my kitchen, which is probably more than $50,000 really, then I cannot deduct that in the year I pay for it. Instead, it adds to the overall purchase price or the cost of the home. So perhaps in the future year, when I sell it, then I can recapture that cost and decrease my taxable gain or the profits.
Let me expand on that. I'll explain it to the best of my knowledge. So when someone sells a house, in fact, I think this is just up in legislation that recently that they're changing this up to 500 to a million, I had read just a couple of days ago now. So when someone buys a primary residence, a single person is gets $250,000 tax-free, we can call it. A married couple would get $500 tax-free. And how that number's figured out is, and I'll use some really simple math just for the sake of explaining it. You buy something for $100,000, you sell it for $600,000, there's $500,000 that you get tax-free, again, tax-free, to where if you sold it for $700,000, you get the first $500 tax-free, and then that extra $100,000, you would have to pay a capital gain tax on.
Correct.
But let's suppose you put that $50,000 kitchen.
The improvements.
Improvements in.
Correct.
You can bump that up to where
exactly.
Now.
Okay. Exactly. Let me clarify that a bit. A lot of folks come to us and they say, I'm going to cash proceeds of X dollars. They don't think the way you're calculating sale price minus
no, because there's costs
price.
And all that. The reason I didn't do that, and thanks for clarifying that, is just to try to make it a simple math first. But yeah, there are costs. It isn't what I stated that simple. There are certain other things. You get to write off all your closing costs.
Right.
Correct.
But people think that it's sale cost minus loan balance.
Yeah. You know, I get that a lot too.
A lot.
I get everybody. They think it's loan balance. I've said repeatedly, I don't give a lot of tax advice, but I'll give them enough to be dangerous, but enough to consult someone like you. But yeah, it has nothing to do with loan.
Right.
That is a common thing I come across where people think it has to do with loan. It's zero to do.
Correct.
Only thing has to do with what you bought it for.
Correct.
What you sold it for.
Correct.
And then minus certain little improvements potentially and minor other things,
right.
I suppose.
And it seems very easy when they buy a stock, right? And then they buy it for $100, they sell it for $500, they can do the math easily. But when there's a loan involved, they always think it's the sale price minus the loan balance, and that's what I'm going to get taxed on. So that's not true. And then a little bit elaboration on the home gain, what you're describing is the home gain exclusion mm-hmm. of up to $250,000 per person. It's per person.
Oh, so you don't have to be married. It doesn't
have
to be a couple.
You don't even have to be married.
Just two people buy a house.
Right. So
what happens if three people buy a house?
Let's say 10 of us go buy a 10-unit apartment and we each occupy one unit and we turn around, we sell it. Each of us are entitled to $250,000 for that property.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yes. The rule is just simple. From the date of sale, you look back and you have to answer two questions. Did I own that place for 2 years? That I lived there for 2 years. If you can answer yes to both questions, then you can take the exclusion of up to $250,000 per person.
Well, this leads me to, I did not know that. That's a great information. So what came to my mind when you said that was simply having one of her children, and boy, maybe this is revealing too much about myself, but who likes to pay taxes? Having one of my children on the deed. So mom, dad, and one of the kids are on title, and then you get a 750.
So that opens up some more tax issues. Now we got gifting issues. So
if you buy it though.
Oh, right. If you buy it with the kids.
The three of you.
Yes.
I mean, you almost, we'd have to talk to lenders about this.
There's a lot of other issues involved in that than throwing family members in there. Then the lenders will need to qualify those other borrowers who are going to, you know, all the different names are going to throw onto the deed and the loan.
We can do it where they're not on the loan and they can be on title. So what is the rule? Is the rule that you have to be on title? Because those are two different things.
Title and residency.
Okay. So they don't have to be on the loan. Someone could sign off and theoretically not be on a loan. Let's say an 18-year-old kid or something like that. But you're saying that, you know, that's probably going to cause more problems than it's going to provide.
It could, because usually this comes up right before sale, right? Because people don't think about it. And right before sale, and they think, oh, holy cow, I've got a lot of profits in this house. Now, what can I do to minimize it? And they read up on the rule, and it's literally $250,000 per person, not capped at $500 per couple. So they start thinking about, oh, what if I add, you know, my entire village of family members onto here, and I'll just wipe out all the gains. Well, in that case, then we have what's called a gifting issue. If, say, Jack and Jill owns a house, right, and Jack and Jill decides to start adding other people in there, they are, in essence, gifting percentage of the house to these new folks that are coming in. And now we have a gifting issue.
All right. So the key, if one wanted to do that, in theory, it's still possible, but the key would be you need to do it 15 years ago when you go buy it.
Right, right. And there's also one other thing I want to throw in. A lot of people come to me and say, oh, you know, I'm going to sell this house. And what if I will buy another house in about 2 years. Can I then defer the gain? Well, they're thinking of that rule that's pre-1997, I believe.
I remember that, yeah.
Right? That's the old rule, very old rule, where back in the days, you would sell your residence and you have, I think, you know, that's even before my time, about 2 years or so, and you buy your next home and you can kick the can down the road.
Right.
That's gone. This home gain exclusion came in and wiped that all out. So those questions only come to me. And when they ask, I know they're probably senior citizens who are still stuck in the old rules.
Yeah, I get that as well. And I would suggest that they talk to a tax person, not me. I don't like to give too much tax advice being that I'm not a tax person. But I want to say, you know, it's funny to revisit what I had said a little bit ago about them increasing that tax benefit or taxable event or no tax. Anyway, to 500 into a million. Actually, a Republican and Democrat, I think, are sponsoring a bill to do that. Right now, maybe when this airs, it'll pass or not pass. But that would...
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be quite interesting.
Yeah, these numbers have not... they're not indexed for inflation. So, you know, what used to be like a really great number, it's probably going to be a not so great now in light of all the inflation going on.
And especially where we live here. So let me ask you this, especially with Airbnb, such a big topic, are there any special tax considerations for homeowners? Actually, I have a friend that does this, who rents out a portion of their home for use for Airbnb type rentals. I have a friend, he'll do Airbnb for one room of his house. Mm-hmm. It's funny because he brags about being such a great host and guest, in which I'm not surprised because he's a great guy. But tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Oh, there's like a, I think in my entire career, I've never seen so much Airbnb as I have since the pandemic. Virtually everybody's jumped on the Airbnb bandwagon, but I'm going to break this discussion up into three chunks, okay? So let's walk through. I have my house and... I'm not fully Airbnb, but let's say I'm taking a vacation to Europe for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I can then rent out my place, put it up for rent for while I'm gone. So there's a little, I hate to say use the word loophole, but there's a little loophole in the tax law that says if you rent out your residence for less than 14 days in the year, that income that you receive is actually not taxable. So say, again, I take off a month to Europe vacation. I put up my house for rent and somebody rents it for only, say, 10 days for the whole year. And that's it, the whole year. However much I get for rent for those 10 days, it's not taxable.
Interesting.
I get to keep it. Okay, so let's take a little bit step further. Take your friend who has a room in the house that's for rent as Airbnb. Then they will have to report all of that income because now it exceeds 14 days, right?
Right.
Then they get to deduct, and let's say that the square footage of that room is 10% of the entire house, then they get to deduct pretty much 10% of everything.
Wow.
Now there's another gray area where, say, I buy a cabin in the mountains because I just love going up to the mountains and perhaps I love skiing too. And I want to have it split between personal use and rented out Airbnb. Now, in that case, it's bifurcated. You're not going to get the best of both worlds. You're not going to get the whole write-off, just like your friend. To the extent that they do use it for personal use, and there's a test, it's 14 days or 10%. And you go beyond that, then you have to split the deduction. So let's say it's 50% Airbnb use, 50% personal use. I don't get to write off everything. My mortgage, my property tax, utilities, everything associated with that house, it can be 50% deducted against the Airbnb income. The other 50%, it's my personal deduction.
Obviously, there's things far more important than just tax savings, but just tax, speaking only about taxes, is an optimal percentage of where you do want to live there and not live there and or rent out. Am I making sense at all?
Yeah. So it really boils down to the individual preference. You know, everyone buys a vacation property for different purpose, right? So if they really wanted to buy it mainly for personal use, because I want to go up to use my Big Bear cabin every weekend, regardless, you know, if that's my top choice, then I would say taxes are only a secondary issue to what their personal goals are.
Right.
But to also sweeten the cake on the Airbnb, on the deduction side, say my Big Bear cabin, I've gotten tired of going up to the mountains. I'm sick and tired of it. I don't want to use it for personal use. Now it's 100% Airbnb, just like your friend renting out his room, except this is an entire cabin. Then I can also do a lot of write-offs besides the actual cash outlay, like the mortgage, property tax. We can throw in what's called the depreciation on the property. And we can do a special strategy to upfront that deduction. So I'll give you another story. I have tons of stories if you'll listen to me.
Yeah, no, this is great.
So we have a doctor client, and he bought a 7-figure property in Big Bear. It's pretty nice property.
7 figures. Yeah.
7-figure in Big Bear. You know, he rented out for easily $1,000 a night, got it in time for ski season. And he, that first year, he brought in about $100,000 in rental income for that cabin. Of course, you know, all the mortgage, property tax, et cetera, everything's deducted. And we also did that special depreciation strategy. And we got him a $70,000 refund.
Oh, my goodness. He made $100,000.
And he got $70,000.
And he got $70,000.
Refund.
Wow. All right, you're hired. That's
crossing out on a different level. But the typical folks that you're talking about where they're renting their room, you're playing vanilla. But if you're talking about like the true people who are using Airbnb, buying properties that are renting it out solely for Airbnb, like we have another client who bought 2 houses literally walking distance from Disneyland. And those are where we start doing some special tax strategies for those people.
Yeah, it's interesting when the Airbnbs kind of hit the scene. I was shown houses in Anaheim. I went and saw a house, and it was all dolled up with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and all the Disney characters. And typically when you sell a house, you want to try to neutralize it
in terms of
getting the best price.
But not when you're across from Disneyland.
No, exactly. And I was kind of blown away. And it was really cool, frankly, but it was too specific. You want to neutralize that normally, not in this case. But I'd realize that, oh, they're catering to the Airbnb market because, boy, that would be a great place to stay. And with all the, it was just a great house. In fact, I also read somewhere where the Airbnbs, and I know we're delving a little to the side here on Airbnbs a little bit, but we'll get back to the tax benefits of owning a home. Thank you for joining us for this first half of Tax Talk, the benefits of owning a home. In this episode, we focused on the importance of building equity, the various deductions that might apply. We shed light on the home gain exclusion. Thank you, Pat Leung for Leung Tax Consulting for joining me. You can find Pat at www.leungtax.com. That's Leung, L-E-U-N, like Nancy, G-T, like Tom, A-X.com. Stay tuned and be sure to catch the second half of the episode here. Pat gives us a very digestible explanation of some of the legislation around homeownership and real estate taxes. And if you work for home, you'll definitely want to catch what she shares about home office deduction. Thanks again, folks.
Thanks for tuning into the Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show, leave a review, and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.